You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Welcome to DottoTech. I'm Steve Dotto, and we are ever so glad you're joining us on iPhone Day. It's indeed iPhone Day. Are you happy?
You can't change the name of it. You called it App Wednesday.
Well, it's. I think Apple's bigger than me. It's iPhone Day.
Okay.
I'm with you, Art.
you market something, you create something, and then you just throw it away?
We'll do some App Wednesday stuff, but it's iPhone Day. It's iPhone Day. It's a happy day. It's the day after my dog's third birthday is what it actually is. Hi. Farley turned 3 yesterday. He got some bacon. we've got a great show. This is going to be fun today. We're going to be taking your calls, what you think about the iPhone. I've got a studio full of guests who are prepared to talk about apps, but we're going to start by talking about iPhone stuff. I have John Beeler. He is of johnbeeler.com. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing excellent.
I want to thank you very much for coming in today, and you prepared lots of apps. I hope we have a chance to get to them, but we're going to have to start with iPhone. Dave Hathaway and his significant other, Megan Beaufort, is with us. How are you two?
I'm doing great. My phone is now updated to the new iOS 6, so I'm set to go.
Now, we were having an interesting negotiation in here as we started, because Megan is on, what is that phone called that you have?
It's a 3GS, and it does not run on Steam.
And now, Megan was saying, I get an iPhone 5, and Dave's going, not till I have one, and so this is interesting. I wonder how many marriages might have issues with, you know, where one person wants the iPhone 5 and the other, and wants to hand down their terrible old 4S or their 4. But I updated the operating system.
They're great for leveling tables.
So, the question is, do you now, Art, you're the person who's got the newest phone, I think, in the room. You've had your phone for a total of 4 months, 5 months?
Yeah, I'm a super cool guy 4 or 5 months ago, but come next week, I guess, right? No one cares.
No, it's the 21st. So you have a week of coolness left till Saturday.
Did you ignore the announcement today just because you're or did you?
I ignored the whole iPhone thing for about 2 years.
Yeah, well, you did that. Then you started doing this show, and you had to.
I'm Apple fanboy. Thanks, Steve.
But how do you feel about yourself now with your iPhone 4S?
Oh, I remember when I first got the, you know, with the white back, everyone knew it was the brand new iPhone without even sort of looking at it. They just knew it was the new one.
And it won't be, because the new one is all aluminum.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, now they won't.
So
do
you feel somewhat diminished? That's what I'm asking.
I'm trying to avoid it.
You shouldn't in comparison, because do you remember what you and John did when the phones first came out and you had to get your complimentary black and white ones and make sure that you line up for different ones?
Yep.
You bought a black and a friend bought a white. You actually color coordinated with your friend?
No, he'd gotten his a bit later than, because you couldn't get the whites initially.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then because your friend had a black, you got a white so that you could be...
No, I got
Ebony
black.
And Ivory. Did you play Ebony and Ivory? Did you play Ebony and Ivory as soon as you were walking out of the Apple store? Okay, let's let the people who have been working all day and don't know exactly what happened and what came down. As usual, Apple sets up a media frenzy around their new product announcement. Surprisingly, with this particular announcement, they did not. I don't think they managed to drop a bombshell that surprised anybody at any point. Most of the stuff had been leaked, which speaks to maybe the changing culture at Apple, or just the fact that it's really hard, that there's so much attention now being placed upon these products that they can't hide them.
I think that's the problem, is that no one's stealthily breaking into the Microsoft warehouse looking for the Windows Phone plans. They're doing this on the Apple side, mm-hmm. you know, at Foxconn and
the paparazzi, because there's a lot of street credibility as a result of, you know, 9 to 5 Mac is like everybody's hero, because they had it laid out chapter and verse exactly what was going to come down, and it came down pretty much the way 9 to 5 Mac said.
But if you remember last time, about a month or so after the launch happened, there were some arrests in China from various people that had sort of smuggled out the prototypes that these sites got. Mm-hmm. So, you know, give it about a month and we'll find out who the players were this time.
The thing is, there's probably a really good bounty with respect to being able to produce some actual pictures of it. So I got some pictures.
It's not unlike, you know, the latest celebrity photo of babies or whatever. Like it's a paparazzi thing and it's a big deal. And I'm glad it's no more blurry cams. They're all better quality spy photos now than they used to be.
Well, they let off the event, as Apple usually does, with an update of where things are going in the Apple universe. And as usual, it was a rosy picture. Apple's sales of their computers in the post-PC computer era are doing well. I think the most humorous moment, at least for me, of the day came as Tim Cook was explaining the success of the iPad and how it has, I think it's 68% market share, up from 64% the last time they had one of these events. But they represent 91% of the web traffic iPads do, which prompted Tim Cook to say, "I don't know what these other tablets are doing." Which was quite a shot at pretty much everybody except Apple as far as the tablet battle goes. But today, they weren't there to talk about tablets. They were there to talk about the iPhone. And as was expected, it is called the iPhone 5. And the hallmarks of the iPhone 5 are, I guess the first thing we have to say is the screen, a 4-inch screen. It's bigger than it's a half an inch bigger than the current iPhone screen, but it's smaller than Samsung Galaxy S3.
It's taller and thinner than the current phone, and if I remember correctly, it's a little bit thinner than the Galaxy S3, and it doesn't have quite as big a bezel as the S3 does, so it should be just a little bit slimmer in your hand.
It does seem very sleek, and it's down to like 120 grams or 112 grams from 140 grams or something like that, so it's very, very light. But the key the business end of it is the 4-inch display, a full 4 inches, at 1136 by 640 as far as the resolution goes, which means that we are now dealing with HD video as HD video should be seen.
Yeah, that's right.
And that makes a big difference.
Absolutely. Although, I mean, arguably people are watching movies on their iPads if they're on a plane, but certainly if you've got nothing else, having a proper aspect ratio movie is great. Mm-hmm. And being able to see it without having to zoom and, you know, the little click and pinch that you have to do.
And the little black bars on the top.
Yeah.
And all this, and they make a rule for an extra row of icons too with this extra height. Yay. Did that excite anybody?
Yeah. Five rows? Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the apps. I mean, I'm in the Apple developer pool as well, so I've seen some of the things that some of the developers are trying to do as far as putting black bars so you still maintain aspect ratios for vertical apps on the new phone versus the old phone versus just simply stretching your content to fill the space. So they're trying different tricks and things like that, and I think Apple's got some hooks for them to do that. So because that could be an interesting UI thing for people when they get the new phone, that all their apps that haven't been updated yet, they're going to look a little different.
Tim Cook did nod to the 700,000 apps, which is the number of apps that are available on the App Store, saying that they will be that they should all work just fine on the new phone, and that as far as the difference in screen goes, that Apple has allowed for that by just basically everything's just going to be centered on the screen as far as Apple's concerned now.
Yeah.
But that can't last. It's always going to be a display. There's always going to be display issues when you change the aspect ratio like this.
Yes.
Because especially on a device as critical as a phone, as small, where every pixel is placed becomes increasingly important. So the full video, the wider screen video, it's a brighter color. And then Apple, the next feature, we can always tell what Apple thinks is important in their features by the order in which they release the features. And the next set of features that they talked about was the wireless capabilities, and they've added HSPA plus mainly for Europe, I think, and for Canadians, the one that we're most interested in is LTE is now built in. So all of the super fast networks being built up by TELUS and Rogers now, which in most cases are actually faster than what your home internet is, this is going to be supported by this device. And that, to me, it's be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Because the battery life is going to be a big concern. You know, battery technology isn't changing as fast as the other technologies are, and I think there's going to be a challenge. Although Apple says they're going to get the same battery life.
I think they actually said that it was going to be slightly better, didn't they?
Yeah, slightly better. Yeah.
I'll believe that when I see it. But
yeah, because do you use your phone heavily on for wireless like data wireless during the day?
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Does it ever last a full day on charge?
No.
No.
No?
Well, no,
yours is not, we can't count yours,
Megan. Her phone doesn't last 30
seconds.
I'm sorry
with my antique.
Well, I have a clock radio dock that I have my iPhone in. So when I get up in the morning, I unplug it and it's fully charged. And I usually last the whole work day. And then I get home. If I'm going to be going out or something, I might top it up during the day just so I have the whole night to go and play. Mm-hmm. But generally, I find that my 3G connectivity is more reliable than the swarm of Wi-Fi networks around me all the time near my office.
Oh.
So I just say, you know what, I don't want to try to connect to all those things because it's always like log into Starbucks or whatever.
That's a real power suck.
It is, yeah. And you're constantly flipping. And so I just leave it off and I use the 3G and it's just as fast and more people are trying to get on the Starbucks Wi-Fi than I am. So it's fine. It'll be interesting to see how that changes as more people get LTE devices with the iPad 3 and LTE, you know, people love
once,
that.
Once the LTE starts rolling out, we start getting more and more devices, and it'll be interesting to see how that affects. Now, you did mention something interesting, which was actually one of the things that bothered me the most about the new direction was Apple leaving orphans behind by the connector. And indeed, we have a new connector. The old wide pin kit Apple connector is now gone, and that's been around since 2007. That connector has lasted a long, long time, but they've replaced it with what they're calling the Lightning. It looks just a little squarish, or I guess it's a rectangular look like USB to most of us, but it won't be a USB cable. And that's going to cause probably the most consternation because all of those devices, like John's clock radio. How many devices do you have that your iPhones can plug into, Hathaway Clan?
Oh. Probably at least 10 different things.
Really? That many? Yeah. And so
and none of them
my
are
car,
a dog.
You know, our car holders, all that stuff is all on the old style connector.
Yeah, so that now they've released a ugly but functional adapter.
And kind of pricey.
Is it pricey?
$40 adapter.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
The cheapest adapter you can find for the current one is about $20 to $25. Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you go to...
For official, yeah.
Yeah, unless you go to, like, the night market.
Exactly.
But then you're running the risk of exploding your phone.
I was actually just at the night market, and my girlfriend and I each bought color-coordinated charge cables. It was, like, two for $5.
Okay, so the new connector, though, now it is going to plug in to the existing docks or the existing cables, and then your iPhone has to plug into it. So any ones that are molded, any of the ones that are a molded case or there's a height requirement, your iPhone's not going to fit in. So there's going to be, it's going to fit for probably the majority of the docks. It's going to be a solution, but it's not going to be a solution for everybody.
But the other thing, though, to consider, though, with the new operating system, which we'll talk about later, I think, there's also the ability to use AirPlay.
Yes.
Right? So, and there is these little adapters that are about the size of that little adapter that they released for the Lightning that you can plug into those clock radio docks, and it turns it into a Bluetooth receiver for your AirPlay.
No. I did not know that.
You can get them for about between $10 and $30, and you can plug it into anything.
So it's got the same 15-pin connector as the bottom of the iPhone.
Yeah.
But it plugs in, and it just becomes the AirPlay receiver.
That's right. Because the nice thing is,
so it'll convert any dock into an AirPlay dock.
Exactly.
Well, that's the only thing you lose then is that convenience of having your phone in one place charging and giving you your music and playing CBC in the morning or whoever you happen to listen
to
in the morning.
But then it makes that really truly turns your phone into something you have attached to your body all the time. So you can use it for other things like as a remote for Netflix or whatever, you know. So there's lots of benefits to doing the wireless. Of course, being wireless has a cost from a battery life.
Exactly. Unless you find a way that you can actually transfer some life force energy, which I wouldn't be surprised if Apple's trying to figure out how to take from us, into the phone. It's probably not going to work. Let me throw out the phone numbers. I'd love to hear what you folks out there in Radioland think of the new iPhone. Did it meet your expectations? Are you excited about the iPhone? Is it a must-have? Is it what you expected? You're a little bit disappointed, which I think I put myself in that camp. I just don't care. I suppose if I don't care, you're probably not going to call into the show because you don't care. Or are you disappointed? Or do you think that it's completely irrelevant because you're a BlackBerry user? Let me know that as well. The phone numbers.
What about Android phone users?
Yeah, there are those two. There's more of those apparently in the world than there are iPhone users.
Yeah, market share for the Android phones is greater than that of the iPhone.
Isn't that interesting?
But it's because they give them away.
Well, you know what?
And if they're a lot easier to get because they're available on every single provider.
There you go.
Yeah. And so on launch day.
If you think it's not a big deal because my Android phone does these things and you want to tell me that as well. 604-280-0650 is our phone number. You can call us if you're tuned in online or out of town, 1-877-280-0650. We're going to take a quick break and return with more of Dottotech in just a minute.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
To celebrate BC Furnace's 30th anniversary of servicing the Lower Mainland, they've launched an open ticket promotion. When you purchase a new high-efficiency furnace or heat pump, you'll automatically have a 1 in 10 chance of winning a $2,000 Flight Center gift card. With 25 winners and a total prize pool of $50,000, it's worth visiting bcfurnace.com.
bcfurnace.com, BC's number one choice.
You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
It's iPhone Day, it's iPhone Day, it's iPhone Day. We're all happy and excited about iPhone Day. If you're happy and excited that it's iPhone Day, give us a call. Let us know what you think of Apple's iPhone. If you'd rather us talk about something else, tell us that too, because if you're just one of those Android users, I'm sick of the iPhone, Steve. 604-280-0650. Unless we hear from people saying that, we're going to keep talking about the iPhone because I'm down with the iPhone right now. I guess the biggest announcement to me was the camera. And that, to me, has been the biggest surprise of the iPhone 4S, is just how relevant it's become in people's lives because of the camera, how it's changed the way that they use cameras. And Apple thinks that they've significantly kicked up the level with their new 8-megapixel sensor. They've got something called a hybrid IR filter, and it goes down to now f-stop 2.4 aperture. John, you're a photography expert. Are you thrilled as Tim Cook thinks you should be with this new phone?
Honestly, no.
I
upgraded to the 4S specifically because it was such a leap with the camera.
And you're happy with it?
I'm extremely happy with the 4S. I take thousands of photos a month with my camera and my iPhone. And so the announcement today, I mean, they sort of explained the reasons behind some of it, at least from what I saw, where because it's a thinner device, they have some limitations with the sensor, and they've got this new sapphire crystal lens,
which you have to explain to me why that's important.
Well, I think the way they explain it is it's because it allows it to be more scratch resistant and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
They should have thought about that for the back of every phone that they've ever built.
I've never had a problem. I mean, occasionally I get smudges from whatever I was eating, you know, on my lens and stuff like that. But the thing that Apple's always been really good at, I think much better than a lot of the other camera phone manufacturers, is even though you can have the same optics in both devices, they've been really good at the software. The post-processing of the image that's captured by that small little tiny sensor. And the thing that did make me interested, and I really want to see some good photos, not the Apple production stills, but some actual photographers using this camera, is the fact that it has really good low-light processing. And when I shoot with my SLR, I shoot in RAW, because then when I take it into my software package, I have two f-stops of latitude to brighten or, you know, change the contrast of something without affecting the image. And really what I saw today is they're basically giving us two f-stops of leeway to adjust our photos on the phone. So being able to, you know, even though it says, you know, f2.4, that means we might be able to get down to f2 or even 1.8 without really destroying the photo.
I'm not hearing that disappointment you claimed at the beginning as you're describing the product.
Well, I was hoping for a little bit more. I was hoping for an F2 aperture lens.
Okay.
You know, and maybe a bigger lens, you know, or other options. There's all kinds of these strange patents that were floating around a while ago, too, about Apple having these interchangeable cases that had, the case actually had different lenses on it, and filters and things like that.
Because is the lens the limiting factor now in the quality of the photo? as far as this is
quite often. Yeah, because it's think about the tiny little pinholes that you're shooting
how
with
much light can it
versus
gather?
The giant lens I have on my SLR, right? It lets all this light in and I get all the detail. And still, 8 megapixels, especially for the purpose that most people use with their camera phone, is to put it on a Facebook or something, is great. It's fantastic. And, you know, there was no surprise that they didn't go higher. You know, they could have put a 16 megapixel sensor in there, but it probably wouldn't have been very good. So they sticked with what the reality that people are using with these photos, although I use a lot of these photos. I've actually had iPhone photos published in magazines and stuff like that. So it just really depends on how good the optics are and the support with the software behind it. And Apple's been fantastic, and they've blown away the competition a number of times, and they've had the exact same sensor in both phones. So, you know, there's a lot of other manufacturers that are really trying to step up their game, but I've really been disappointed. And I use all these other phones just to see if the camera's any better.
Now, as a layman and not an avid photographer, I would have thought that going thinner with the phone would have presented more challenges for the camera lens to capture its information, because reducing that distance and making it thinner and thinner, it has to be an issue just because of the geometry of light.
Right. Well, it depends on how they've done it. I didn't actually look too closely at the internal photo of it, but the sensors themselves are typically little tiny little ribbon cable things with a little circuit on it, and there's not much to it anyways.
Okay.
But it's all about the post-processing. And they've got these IR filters and backside illumination. That gets rid of a lot of the... Excuse me. That gets rid of a lot of the extra glare and sort of the webcaminess of some of these camera phones, right? So, they're basically taking still photos from a webcam, and that's your photo that you take of some of the cheaper phones. But these actually have a lot of the same technology that's in a point and shoot camera. The only thing that's missing is an optical zoom.
Yeah. Yeah, which they can't have.
Right, couldn't fit that in the camera.
No, not that thin.
No, not. And they've also upped the ante along with the digital still camera, the video portion, 1080p HD, which they've had for a while, but they've improved the video stabilization, and they've added something which I guess we first saw in the Samsung camera, that their last camera, which is the ability to take photos while you're recording a video,
which is great, because quite often you're making the decision: do I shoot a photo of this or do I shoot a video of this?
Yeah, now you can just sort of snap it as you go along.
Yeah. So that seems to me to be pretty cool. Now they've added some software features in it as well as a part of the photo toolkit. One of which is the ability to take panoramas automatically, built into the software. So you just sit there and you pan the camera.
You know,
around.
I was sort of annoyed by that, because one of the apps that I was spent a bunch of time just recently in Utah using was a really great panorama shooting app.
Okay.
And then
it was going to be one of your apps
today. Yeah, it was.
Well, everybody's like, not going to have this phone, and for the rest of the people that don't have it, it's a great workaround.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is there is a lot of apps that do panoramas. Some are really good, high quality ones. Some are really low quality. But this looks like you'll be able to do your native thing. And what's interesting is they're actually sort of doing a stacked panorama, so the resulting photo is going to be 28 megapixels.
Yeah.
So because you're actually taking the 8 megapixel pictures and it's stitching it all together, so you have this giant panorama that's super high res.
Yeah, and get the 64.
That's right.
So better get the 64 gig. I was thinking for things like realtors, that's going to be an awesome tool.
Yes.
You know, especially ones that are, you know, doing quick stuff themselves as they're looking at a house or something like that. They've also changed the audio setup a little bit with 3 microphones now instead of the, I guess it was just 1 microphone before. Was there 1 or 2? I don't even know.
I believe there was 2.
There was 2. So they now have front, back, and bottom. So that, so because they've, with the higher speed networking, they're incorporating FaceTime over the LTE network or over the wireless network, which is something new. I don't use FaceTime. Does anybody here use it?
I do.
Occasionally, yeah.
Okay. Megan, what do you use it for?
I have friends who are hearing impaired, so they need to be able to see me to read my lips when I'm talking.
Oh, so that's going to be something that's nice for you. And FaceTime's the frame rate and refresh rate is good enough so they can read your lips.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, we've never had any problems. It's actually been pretty fantastic.
That's always been an unusual omission from the Apple toolkit, is FaceTime being limited only to if you're connected to Wi-Fi, I thought. So
well, you could do it if you jailbroke your phone, and I may have done that in the past.
I accidentally jailbroke it. And it slipped, and I jailbroke it.
And the thing is, initially, I think the fear was that the carriers were worried about an influx of network usage.
Yeah.
And people not understanding that using FaceTime is your data plan being consumed. And because you're sending HD video now over FaceTime, that 500 meg data plan is going to be gone in about half an hour.
I guess it would be. Just looking at that, was there anything else that's the hardware story? Am I missing anything? Can anybody think?
Well, most of the software stuff that they rolled out in iOS 6 has been discussed quite a bit before. I mean, Google Maps gone.
Yeah.
Now replaced with
Apple's mapping.
Yeah, the Tom. Yeah,
it's Tom.
TomTom slash Apple mapping. The YouTube app now gone. But actually, YouTube put its own app.
And Apple, which is supposed to be much better than Apple's app that they had.
The Apple app was pretty basic.
Yes,
I mean some of the mail improvements are great. I love the little VIP thing.
I'd be interested in that, because the mail improvements, because if there's one area of my Apple life that I'm unhappy with, it's mail.
Yeah.
Is that you too?
No, I just read your posts.
Oh. Well, mail is crazy. It drives me crazy. I don't understand it.
The thing is that what they essentially did was they brought the OS X version of mail and the iPhone version of mail closer together so that they behave similar fashion. But you know what? I don't want that on my MacBook.
Okay.
I don't like that behavior of I constantly lose email because
yes.
Well, I don't lose it. I mean, it's still there, but if five messages come in and it's threaded them all into one because it figures it's one threaded discussion, I can very easily not see a piece of email until someone goes, "Oh, email do that." I went,
"Oh yeah." And I lose it for that reason as well.
But it works fine on the phone.
It gets worse for me, and I don't want to admit this, but I will do a search in the mail tool in Apple's mail for a message from you that you sent me, and it won't appear. Yet I go into the full search, and I search for it, and it's there, and it comes up. But it's not appearing in the mail tool, and I don't, for the life of me, understand why.
That's something broken.
That's a common point of pain.
It's not just me?
No, it's not.
Oh, thank goodness.
I don't even have a mail app installed on my Mac. I use webmail for everything. Because I use so many different machines and things like that. I don't want to have one machine that is that, and everything's in the cloud. So, but I know I have an email from Steve about something. I type it in, and it's like, it's showing me emails from like 2008. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, this was something he sent just like half an hour ago.
Yeah, and for me, typically, it's usually like in that two to three week range ago that things get lost.
Yeah.
I'll book a flight, and I won't bother moving the itinerary over into my calendar because I've just received the confirmation by email, Air Canada. It's easy to find.
Yeah.
I go into the mail, I type in Air Canada because that seems to be a logical search criteria, and I see a bunch of ads, I see a whole bunch of things. There's no itinerary. So then I go into the search and I find it.
Yeah.
And I'm going, why didn't you give that to me last time?
Yeah, I'm with you on the love-hate for Apple Mail lately.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's got nothing to do. We were talking about the iOS 6 integration.
Well, I have a question about iOS 6 that one of you might know the answer to, because I haven't been able to find one. And I don't know if any of you have ever used VoiceOver, which is one of the accessibility functions that comes with all the iPhones and iPod touches. It's a described voice that tells you if you're visually impaired, how to use your phone, and you can add buttons and stuff. It works really well, and you can also use your phone with a wireless braille display. However, it's been 2.5 years since Apple said they were working with the developers, of which I am one, to be able to use VoiceOver in your own apps to make them VoiceOver compatible, and I saw nothing today, because the last time I tried, I could still not make anything I make VoiceOver compatible.
So it's the accessibility. Well, you're both on the developer program, so that might be something you have to research.
Yeah, I'm not familiar. I don't have an answer for you. But that's an interesting question, because I do remember them mentioning that.
Yeah, and it's been ages, and it would really be nice to be able to incorporate that work.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I don't know about that one.
But I know you guys are bigger geeks and read more, so I didn't know if you'd seen something I hadn't.
You know, I think you better get used to this, Megan. We disappointed you yet again.
Never. I have never, ever been disappointed by any man in this room, or you, Art, because you're not in the room.
Thank you.
You could have gone several ways with that one. 1-877-280-0650. If you're out of town, 604-280-0650. If you're in the local area and you want to weigh in on the new iPhone 5, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with more of Dotto Tech in really soon time.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Whether you want something custom for business,
I need an ultra-fast computer with loads of memory and a high-resolution screen,
or something portable for school,
I just need a reliable computer for late-night cram sessions.
The computer pros at London Drugs will help you get what you need. From desktops and laptops to tablets and accessories, we have all the best brands. And if you find a lower price advertised in print, we'll match it. So come by the computer department at London Drugs today.
Do you have a comment or question for Dotto Tech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Back to Steve and his guests. We've got Megan, Dave, and John in studio with us. We are talking iPhone 5, and I'm actually kind of getting bored of it already. Pricing, for those of you wondering, will be about the same as what the existing iPhones are. With plans, you're going to be looking at around $199 in Canada for the iPhone 5, $229 for the 32-gig version, and around $399 for the 64-gig version, which is going to translate into that, I guess, that's $699, $799, $899 retail price for the unlocked iPhone from the Apple store.
It's interesting. It's about $50 more than last time.
Is it? Is it that much more?
Yeah, because I bought an unlocked one last year.
Yeah. They're sure expensive, but I don't like being tied to one carrier. So I imagine they're going to do fairly well. It's being, you can place an order with Apple on the 14th, 2 days from now. They're shipping in Canada, U.S. On the 21st. Yeah. The rest of the world, well, most of France, Germany, Australia, Japan, Hong Kong, and Singapore that day. And the following week for the rest of the world, you'll be able to drop into your local Apple store on the 21st and purchase one from the store.
Should be able to go straight to the front.
Yeah, there'll be a lineup. It's amazing how people drop that full pop on these.
Well, it's interesting, though. I don't know if there's going to be that big of a lineup, except for maybe at the Apple store where people aren't aware, but all the carriers are now doing pre-orders, and even places like Feature Shop and other stores like that are doing pre-orders in store, too. So you can literally just, you know, pre-order it, and then you just walk in, and they'll call you when it's actually in the store. Yeah. Last year, there was some problems with that because, you know, I walked into the Apple store on launch day at lunch. I waited outside for about 10 minutes to go in and get my phone. I had friends that pre-ordered it the second it was available to pre-order, and they had to wait about 2 weeks till that store that they had pre-ordered it to got it in stock.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, that's burnage.
So I was.
And did you lord it over them?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Of course.
I found the same thing. I didn't get my iPhone until about maybe 2 months after the launch, and I went to the Rogers store to see if I was available for an upgrade, and they said nothing's coming in for another month. There's a lineup of still after 2 months, and they said, have you tried the Apple store, just because this is Oak Ridge, have you tried the Apple store? Went to the Apple store, oh, they had a bunch.
Yep.
Still, and then people didn't know that. People had no idea that they can go to the Apple store. And
don't tell them.
Well, the other thing, too, that a lot of people don't realize is that the phones come unassigned at the Apple store, right? So they could have 100 phones in the Apple store, but in the other shops, they have 20 Rogers phones, 20 Telus phones.
Yeah, what they're allocated.
With the SIM cards already installed, whereas at the Apple store, they come a plane, and then they just give you the appropriate SIM card if you need one, or you swap it yourself. So they can actually fulfill a lot more of a variety of customers than the other stores.
And it gives you a lot more flexibility getting one from the Apple store because it is not tied to any one particular network. So when it comes time to sell it down the road to upgrade to the iPhone 6, 7, or 8, then you can. It's an easier sell because people from any network can purchase. It also works really well if you're traveling and you're going to the States and you just want to swap out a SIM card and you want to be down 2 weeks in the States and you want to data
plan. That's the thing is, I use that Roam Mobility service now when I go to the States, and it would be much easier for me to just simply go pop another SIM in.
Yeah, I use Roam actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you just pop out your SIM out of your iPhone, it in, and you're good to go. There was one other point that I wanted
to make. Let's click like for Rome.
I actually just found the answer to my question.
Oh.
Not my specific question, but I know that you probably have listeners who have different disabilities who might be visually or hearing impaired. Louis Perez, who is a blind techie, has done a really good overview from the WWDC today. So some of the coolest things, just quickly, are guided access has been introduced, which means that for like kids with autism or attention issues, you're going to be able to really customize what the look of the device is and keep them on task and help with focus.
Minimize the number of options.
And even disable certain areas of interface if that's a distraction or an issue. And VoiceOver has finally been integrated with assistive touch. So if you have both hearing and visual impairments, then you're not going to have to choose between them anymore. And VoiceOver has also been integrated with Zoom and Maps. So for people who are completely blind, who use Maps to integrate to navigate their environment,
so they'll be getting descriptive.
Working a lot better. And very cool, Apple's going to be working with hearing aid developers to make iPhone compatible hearing aids with long battery life.
That's a key, because
very cool.
And there's an upside to that for Apple, because as they work with the hearing aid manufacturers, they've got a growing market of aging baby boomers who can't, or increasingly, there are some very cool ways that the iPhone can interface with hearing.
It's kind of ironic, because they probably had hearing issues because they were listening to their iPod years ago too loud.
Years ago.
Yeah.
On the line, we got Gary. Gary, so what's your take on the iPhone 5?
Well, just want to say hello to David, good friend. I'm in Toronto.
Ah.
Oh. Hi, Gary.
And this is the inside thing.
Are you practicing your Gangnam dancing?
You know, I have to express my disappointment with the iPhone launch. I'm definitely upgrading, but I guess a lot of the steam was taken away from the announcements just because of all the product leaks.
Yeah. So
with all the parts and stuff, and it just everything was known about the phone up to the point of the introduction.
So Gary, you sound to me like the kid who's disappointed in Christmas because you knew what you were getting, but you still got some cool stuff.
Well, you know, David knows me very well, and I have practically every Apple product.
He does.
He lined up at the Apple store in France.
Okay. And he will
on holiday.
He will be lined up on September 21st, I'm sure of it.
So was there any features that you were hoping for, or was it just the fact that they didn't keep the secrecy lid down this time, and so there was nothing exciting coming down the pipe?
The fact that I knew everything about it beforehand. And it's just, you know, there's this mystique with the product launches, and it was just lost.
Okay.
It was just... it's so disappointing in that way. And then so when you know what's coming down the pipe, it's like, well, okay, this is what I'm upgrading to, but I've known all this. And it's like there was no surprise.
Yeah. And with Apple releasing their OS out of sync with the phone, I think that makes it much more difficult for them to conceal what features are going to be in the phone, because you can see them in the operating system. And the fact that they've got that operating system out with the developers, I mean, the developers can even look at things that aren't there and they say, what is this hook for? And then say logically it's going to go in this direction.
Well, and there is a lot of that, right? You know, they start finding labels for things, and it's like, well, none of these people outside of Apple have the iPhone 5 hardware yet.
Yeah.
So who knows what magical features are still there, but you think they would have highlighted them today.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And like the caller, I missed that magical Christmas moment of some kind of surprise or one more thing, you know. And I don't know if that's a Steve thing or it's just the fact that there's no possible way Apple can live up to the hype machine.
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination.
I think it's really a case of now that they, you know, they used to be able to keep it very, very tight. And I don't think they have the ability to keep it secret.
Well, there was a massive fear. I mean, Apple was people were fired out of hand for leaking things in the past.
They're just victims of their own technological success.
I think it's a combination, the internet with that success, that bright light shining, and they just couldn't find a rock to hide under. Gary, thanks for the call, and I'm glad I saved you a few bucks with Dave. So let's go around quickly and let's wrap up the iPhone with this question to each of you. What were you disappointed with other than the, you know, was there a feature that you were hoping, was there something that the phone is missing that you were hoping it would have? Okay, and I'll start, since I'm throwing you guys under the bus by this. I was hoping that there would be some form of near-field communications in it, and I know that Apple wanted to have an entirely aluminum body, which was going to cause difficulties for that. But I was really hoping that we'd be taking a big step forward over the next year. Near-field communications for online payment systems, for in-store payment systems, yes. That sort of stuff. And without the iPhone being on board on that particular bandwagon, I don't think it's going to move ahead, because the Apple users would be the early adopters that would use it. And yeah, I know it's hooked into the Samsung S3. I just don't see those users as the people that are necessarily going to be, you know, going to drive it ahead. And the merchants aren't going to get along in line as quickly, because it's not cool enough. That's number one. And number two, with all of the conversation around Gorilla Glass from Corning that's been going on for the last little while, I was really hoping there would be a virtually indestructible screen, because the number of shattered iPhones, as soon as you drop them, because they're thin and they're slippery, and they fall and they shatter, and it's shattering to people who have to go out and lay out the money for a new one, because of course that's not covered under Apple Care. And so that were the two things that I was hoping that Apple would incorporate. John?
I guess we sort of covered the camera stuff. For me, I was hoping for a little bit more, better, nicer.
Lower f-stop. You wanted a 2,
yes.
Not a 2.4.
That's right.
Damn it.
But, you know, the thing the last couple of launches have been, like the 4 was a big leap.
Siri, out of the blue. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 4S, I should say.
4S, yeah.
But the 4S wasn't a 5. Everyone thought, well, the 5 is going to be better, so I'm going to wait for the 5. And then now we've got the 5, and it's like, well, it's evolutionary.
This
it's
seems not- more like a 5S, and the 4S seems more like a 5.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
It's just a crazy numbering system.
They should have talked to me before.
Yeah.
So other than the camera, the camera's your thing.
And also, like Gary on the phone, just the whole mystique of the whole thing is
changed.
You
wanted the event more.
Yeah. Well, and then now it's just become, it's another product, right? Yeah. Whereas everybody does products.
But still, it's a product that everybody pays attention to. When Samsung launched the S3, we all didn't watch the blog live. We all didn't talk about it that day. You know, when Samsung came around on their tour, gave us the Samsung S3, let us play with it. Yeah, all of the media then got on board and we started chatting about it. But I spent an hour and a half today with the feed of one of the feeds of the blogs, telling me everything that was going on, and so did probably everybody here. So,
I didn't, but yeah, maybe Samsung doesn't want those customers.
Yes, they do.
They do.
Art, what's your, anything disappointing in it?
I'm just disappointed they didn't wait a little longer so I can have the cool iPhone, latest iPhone for, I don't know, 6, but past Christmas. They should have waited until, like, January.
Let Art have a Christmas being.
That's always their thing, though. They always will do a release for their high-demand product.
They want people buying it for
Christmas. Yeah.
Well, you asked me what I'm upset about, and that's it.
That's a fair
comment. It's a legitimate.
And it's not
upset.
A very good back scratcher, I don't think.
Dave?
Just trying to picture scratching my back with an iPhone. You know, because we knew everything that was coming with it, I don't think there's really anything that I sort of thought, oh, I really wish they put that in there. What I'd like to see them do is really do something completely different with iOS. Like, just start all over.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not. I don't think that's going to happen anytime in the near future.
No.
I mean, they've made that kind of a leap with OSs before, but now that you know most of the
there isn't a next up there out there for them to buy to get the new operating
well,
system.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean,
not right now.
There was
RIM's for sale. Maybe they're interested. I don't think so though.
It was everything I figured it was going to have in it. You know, the NFC would have been really, really nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think there's anything that I was really disappointed with. Besides, like we've said numerous times, the complete lack of surprise, because it's like, oh, yeah, well, that was leaked, and that was leaked, and that was leaked.
Got it. Megan?
Maybe you should stop reading the leaks. Then you'd be surprised.
That's right. Don't open your Christmas presents. Don't climb into the closet and unwrap the Christmas presents before. That's
I have never done that.
The only thing...
I only did it once.
I did it once today.
And then it was so disappointing that you didn't do it again.
Yeah.
No. Actually, I got exactly what I wanted. I was happy. I didn't care.
I just couldn't... Okay.
The only thing... I don't even know that disappointment is a good term for it, but the degree to which Facebook has been integrated with iOS 6 kind of creeps me out.
Yes.
Yeah. And by kind of, I mean a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. The Facebook integration is in Facebook and Twitter now fully integrated into the iOS. Going to be something that we'll have to keep our eye on as we move ahead. And for those of us on the antiquated iPhone 4S and 4s, when are we going to be able to upgrade to iOS 5 ourselves? What's the release schedule for that?
iOS 6. October 6th, I think it was.
No, I think it's the 19th. I think
was
it's next
it
week.
October
9th? September 19th.
Oh, so next week we're going to be up.
Yeah, everybody, and it looks like it goes back a couple of versions, too.
And you both have, because your developers have upgraded to iOS 6, yep. Is it a worthwhile upgrade for us all to do?
If you've got a 4 or 4S, yes. I don't know the compatibility or the speed with the older ones.
We don't even talk to those people.
Yeah, I shouldn't even be here. I should be shunned in the hall with like a dunce cap on.
But there's a couple features with iOS 6 that I think are really great that Apple's finally offered out. Like, really good, well, decent turn-by-turn navigation on your phone.
Yes.
So you can kiss that little dedicated unit that's stuck to your windshield goodbye. And it works quite well. It's got TomTom behind it, and it's free. So that's going to help you so much if you're in the States roaming, for example, because you're chewing up
data. That's what Navigon's for.
And it is missing a few things, at least in the beta versions that I've seen, where the TomTom app or the dedicated unit has things like time left to destination, that type of thing. But it's still good, and it's very slick, and it's well done.
I will never give up my Navigon for any of the turn-based ones.
Next Wednesday, September 19th.
Okay.
Yeah, which I was just checking that, too.
Okay, here's what we're going to do now. It is App Wednesday. Apple has hijacked the proceedings, but we're going to take the last segment of the show, and we're going to blast through a bunch of way cool apps, because I know Art thinks that he wins this week.
Easily.
Okay, well, we will see.
Bring it on.
We're going to take a quick break and return with our favorite apps here on App Wednesday on Dottotech.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Hey, welcome to Inspiration Furniture. I see you're looking at the Natuzzi line. Very good choice.
Oh, it's pretty comfortable.
Yeah. Works great in a condo, too.
Ooh, I like the price, too.
You get savings and...
Space!
Jinx!
Double jinx!
Jinx Infinity!
Jinx with a coat on and phone to the moon and a hard hat. There.
Savings and space with such a huge selection of contemporary, modern, and stylish brands like Natuzzi. Visit Inspiration Furniture, 1275 West 6th in Vancouver.
You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Yes, indeed, it is App Wednesday as well as iPhone Day here on Dottotech. So let's spend some time talking about our favorite apps. Once a month, we like to talk about the apps that make us smile, apps that are indispensable, apps that are just too cool for words. And I'm going to have to ask everybody to keep it short, because we only have like 15 minutes left in the show. So I'm going to start. Megan, do you have an app ready to go? Okay, she says no, because she usually just chimes in. Dave, what's your number one app that you came up with for us?
Well, it was a Pano app. I had so much fun taking Pano pictures.
Oh.
The only other really interesting one I've run into recently at work, we've deployed, there's a big push for people to use their own phones and their own laptops and stuff at work.
Okay.
So what we're doing is we're betaing a product called AirWatch, that what it essentially does is it allows you to bring in your machine to work, but still retains all the security of them giving you their own device. So they can push out apps to my phone. If, say, we get a company version of X app, they can just simply push it out to the phones.
Okay.
Or they can restrict and control in a very granular fashion what I can get access to within the corporate network from my phone.
Okay.
So that it's been fascinating.
So
to watch
somebody
it.
Has World Series of Poker installed in their phone, you can block them from playing poker for money while they're at work.
Yes.
That seems useful.
Yep.
AirWatch. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's that useless to your average day-to-day consumer.
It's not too consumer friendly, but it is an interesting app.
Yep.
John?
I actually have two, and I'll do the fun one first.
Do the fun one.
Okay, it's a photography app. It's called Tiny Planets.
Tiny Planets.
Yes, and what it does is you take a photo, and you apply the processing, and it turns that photo, say you took a picture of the skyline, it bends the skyline into a planet, so it looks like these... the skyscrapers are like these giant things, and it makes a really interesting looking mathematical...
Tiny
photo.
Planet.
Yes. And I was just at Live at Squamish a couple weekends ago. I was backstage with my media pass and all that stuff, and I took some pictures from behind the stage, and it looked awesome, because basically the sheepdogs were on stage, and the guitarist was there, and he's basically at the top of the planet, and the rest of the planet saw all the audience and everything around him. And it's just a fun little app.
Very cool. What's your not-so-fun app?
It's called Wemo. It's from Belkin. It's actually a product you buy.
W-E-M-O?
W-E-M-O. from Belkin. And it's a plug-in that you plug into your house, and you plug stuff into it, and then it's an app, it's a free app from Belkin, and you control over Wi-Fi whatever's plugged into that outlet. And you can do all kinds of cool things. So you can basically set it up so that if the temperature on the weather network says it's going to be hot today, turn on the fan. So it's all connected to the internet and Wi-Fi and all this kind of stuff. It's really neat. And it's,
that sounds cool.
And there's also
bought a whole pile of them.
And there's
have you?
No. No, but I mean, I love the sound of it.
Yeah, and there's
how much does it cost? How much does the access points cost?
It's $50 a switch.
Yeah.
And for $99, you get a switch and a motion sensor. So you can actually have it triggered. If someone comes by your house, it'll turn on a light and send you a text message.
That's cool. And there, I've got to look it up because...
It's like the 2012 version of the clapper.
Basically.
Or the...
I'm just looking at it online.
It's exactly, yeah.
That old... what was the name?
The X10 system?
X10 stuff, yeah.
Yes, it's the next evolution of that, yeah. But it's Wi-Fi connected. They have an app.
I like this on their page. Every time my cat visits the litter box, email me so I can clean it up.
Yes.
There you go. So that's cool because that actually folds in with an app called Locktron. Locketron, I believe that is. It's and I will put that on the site as well. That is a lock that you can control through your internet connection on your smartphone. So if you have a bed and breakfast, you don't have to give people a key. You just give them a code to their iPhone, and they come in and they type in the code, hit enter, and it will unlock the door for them. And you can disable and enable that code.
How's that going to work at your cabin?
Well, it's not going to work at the cabin. It's not for the cabin. It also seems to be, it's got some fairly arduous connectivity issues. Like you have to have your access point like right next to the door type thing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So they've specified that. But that seems to me to be a very, and you can also unlock it. So if you have a plumber coming to do some work, they can call you, I'm at your house, and you can unlock the house from work. So that's another cool aspect that would fit very nicely with mm-hmm. that Beltron, the Belkin.
The
Wemo. I like the Wemo. Art, you said you were going to win today. I think Mr. Beeler has thrown down.
I know that was pretty. Well, that's technically not the Wemo's not an app. Well, it's an app, but you have
don't
to have.
Don't whine.
No.
He's right. You have to make an external purchase.
$50. My app is free.
Okay.
And the app that I found this week, I don't think we've talked about it on the show, and it's probably been around for a while, but I found very interesting, fun. I had a lot of fun with it over the weekend. So essentially, it's
Sheep Launcher.
It's Google Translate.
Yes.
Google Translate.
Yes.
And Google Translate also has an audio function to it. So I was thinking to myself, Steve, if you were traveling and you needed this sentence translated to a different language...
Hello, my name is Steve. I am lost. Where can a lonely man find some company?
So say you find yourself in, I don't know, Poland? It would sound something like this. So you can just hand the phone over to some person on the street and...
Witam, mam na imię Steve. Jestem zgubiony. Gdzie można znaleźć jakiś samotny człowiek firmę?
Isn't that the coolest thing ever?
That is pretty cool.
It's cool in that you worked so hard to set it up. You get extra points for effort.
Well, also, without it being the audio side, you could type in whatever sentence you want and then just hand it over, and it has a big screen. And I just think that is the coolest. Like, every...
It makes me want to travel to places I don't speak the language.
Well, every 80s TV show. Yeah, go down the street. There's a mall down here that, you'll find very difficult.
That's pretty cool, but it has been discussed on the show before.
Okay, I don't remember.
We've actually mentioned it. We haven't done
the audio side.
A good a job of doing it as you just did.
Perfect.
Nor is one that puts Steve on the spot quite as strongly as... Look, I'm talking about myself in third person. That's scary. But yes, that's...
Google Translate. If you're heading out of the country.
Is that your only app that you wanted to do? Were you putting all your eggs in the Google Translate basket?
I found a couple other ones. I think Vintage Phone, which is a rotary dial, if you're interested in going... like if you're on a 3S, for example, 3GS, and you want it to be really, really old school, you can Vintage Phone, and you can turn your iPhone into a rotary dialer.
A rotary dialer, that's cool.
And that's... then I downloaded... Any Place TV by Rogers. I'm not impressed.
I downloaded that too, and I wasn't impressed. I took it off. I don't even remember what it does. I think I downloaded it because it did it come with a CTV package or something.
It made
like that
it sound
Olympics?
Like you can. It made it sound like Slingbox. All the commercials make it sound like Slingbox, but in reality, it's It's some, it's like clicking into some person's really horrible DVR. Or, because it's just a bunch of preloaded clips of movies and I don't ever want to watch.
I am glad you mentioned Slingbox because we have been remiss. We haven't mentioned...
Giveaway!
It's Slingbox September here on Dotto Tech. We're giving away not one, but two Slingboxes. One Slingbox, the HD, and then the Pro, or the personal one, as well as the Slingbox's network adapters. So drop by the Dotto Tech website there, and there you can win a Slingbox. Which we're giving away at the end of the month. It's very, very exciting. Everybody should rush there. I have an app that I like a lot. And I downloaded it for the iPhone, and it's actually better on the iPhone so far than the iPad, which is surprising because you'd think the iPad would be better for this particular application. But it's Craigslist Plus for the iPhone, and it's 99 cents, and it does a sensational job of helping one search Craigslist for different products or services, which they mention as you sign in. They say age-restricted material, because Craigslist sometimes has age-restricted material, which surprises the heck out of me always. But having said that, it does work very well on the phone. And the thing that I like about it is it's got a feature built in that I've been looking for on Craigslist for ages. It's got the ability to monitor Craigslist for an item that you're looking for, which is tremendous. So if you're looking for a certain lens.
I do that already with RSS feeds.
You're a geek. I'm sorry that came out. That wasn't me saying it. But it does. But it allows you in a nice simple interface, and then it gives you an alert on your phone. If John will write a description of how to do it, or you can just get this app for 99 cents. And the other thing is it makes it really easy for you to compose ads, which you often do with your iPhone, where you take a picture of something and then it can go straight, and then you can post it directly.
That's kind of slick.
You don't do that with RSS feeds, do you?
I do not.
You should read Bob. So that was my contribution, Craigslist Plus. And they've got a free version on the iPad, but it's the navigation isn't as intuitive. It's from the same company. The navigation isn't as intuitive, and they crowd the iPad screen with it. It's not quite as good. But it will do things like filter straight through to just so you can check photo ads of, like, if you're looking for property, if you're looking for, you know, if you're looking for a car.
Skylines.
Skylines. Tiny planets. Tiny planets would be good as well. So that's my app. I don't think that my app wins this week, and it's certainly not.
I have a hideously geeky app that I've been using
like
a lot.
You do have an app?
I'm a little slow, as usual. But I thought of it because I was looking at your Lend Me a Tenor script, which is sitting on the table in front of me. And I haven't used this one in a while because I haven't been doing any plays. But it's called My Lines.
Oh, really?
And there's a free version, My Lines Lite, and My Lines. And their website is mylinesonline.com. And it's basically to help when you're memorizing a script so you don't need somebody else sitting there reading with
lines.
You. Yeah.
I'm going to check it out. Because here's what we're actually... for those of you who don't know, nobody would know, because how would you know? Unless you're my Facebook friend. I'm doing a play coming up in November in Vancouver. I'm doing a show called Lend Me a Tenor.
You got it.
Yeah, I got the role. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, we're all excited. And it's a good play. It's a hilarious play. But what I did is I talked to all of the cast members, and we're actually meeting online on Skype next week, and we're going to record the show ourselves on Skype, and I'm going to record it all with call recorder, which gives me multi-track recording of it, and then I'm going to send back an MP3 of the whole show to each cast member with their part omitted. So that they
like a blackout. Awesome.
Just so that they can do that coming back. And John's showing me his pictures from, is that Tiny Planet?
Yes.
That is cool. This is fascinating radio. John, you got to send me the picture.
We'll
post it online so people can see. We should have a live blog feed. But yeah, so we're doing that. But I'm going to check out my lines because I've got too many lines.
Can't do that.
We all have space for radio in here. Yeah, I've got too many lines in this play. Are you excited about me doing a play, Art?
I'm going to go. I went to your last one.
Yeah, you did. I did. I almost never do shows, and here I'm doing two in the last 2 years. So, yeah, it's going
to
be.
We went to your last one too. It was great.
Yeah, it was fun.
Or maybe I'm going to say I'm going to go to your show and then text you right before the show starts and then not make it. But who knows? Who knows?
Somebody's feeling a little burned. Art was doing his comedy festival.
Forget about it. Next weekend.
He had tickets reserved for me, and I texted him and said, we're not coming.
Comedy Mix, Century Plaza Hotel, September 20th, next Thursday to Friday, Saturday.
That's your next performance?
Yep, next week.
Okay, I better wrap things up. I've got to thank Megan Befford, David Hathaway.
Just Megan.
I have to check your name because on Facebook you're Megan B, so it's so easy.
Well, then just call me Megan B. That's fine.
You're Megan B. Dave Hathaway. John Beeler, johnbeeler.com. Dave doesn't have a website, neither does Megan.
Sure, I do.
Monkey-boy.com.
Oh, that's right, you do.
Simeon-studios.ca.
Simeon-studios.ca. He does. He helps people out with their websites and all that, so I keep forgetting. Sorry.
Monkey-fix.com.
I don't want you helping other people because I always rely on you to help me. That's the biggest issue there. Of course, Art Factora, our erstwhile producer. Reminder, drop by our website where you can win a sling box. Enter once, enter often. The more times you enter, the better chance you have to win. You can enter like 3 times a day if you want. So that's it. Next week on the show, I don't know what we have next week, but it'll be good. It's going to be awesome. We'll plan it out as soon as we're done here today. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time right here on Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Whether you want something custom for business,
I need an ultra-fast computer with loads of memory and a high-resolution screen.
Or something portable for school.
I just need a reliable computer for late-night cram sessions.
The computer pros at London Drugs will help you get what you need, from desktops and laptops to tablets.